You're listening to a Sin podcast. You can listen to this show live by tuning your radio to 90.7 or online at sin.org.au.
We at Represent would like to acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional owners of the land on which Sin operates, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Sin Media respectfully acknowledges their ancestors and elders, past, present, and emerging. We would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and their ancestors of the lands and waters across Australia where our content reaches. Sovereignty has never been ceded, it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Kids should go to school. That's what we're committed to.
Why do we want it? When do we want it now?
I haven't flip-flopped. I said no originally, then I said yes, then I have said no and I've stuck to it.
I didn't need to do this. I've already done a lot of wall for the election.
The English fought a civil war over this matter.
Don't deal with the nuance of the Canberra bubble.
I don't know what to do with it. We have so much money.
What we want is more learning in schools and less activism in schools.
Issues that perhaps may be controversial today, but 30 years from now, your children, your grandchildren are going to be thankful that you stood up for what it was right.
Represent.
Represent.
Represent. You're listening to Represent.
You are listening to Represent. We have a huge show and I'm just working out which mic is not being used. There we go. We are sorted, but we've got some mic sharing and too many people and not enough mics. It's a bit crazy. But most excitingly, back in the studio, right opposite me, Freddie.
What's going on? I'm back. Very exciting.
How has your time away been?
It was very sad. I haven't represented for 3 months now. I've been going through withdrawals.
As you should be.
I've started my own home version of Represent because I've been so sad. It's just me talking to myself. It's not very fun, but it's nice to be back. It's very nice to be back.
Took a dark turn. Wow.
I haven't seen sunlight in months.
How has your week been since we're now broadcasting on a Thursday? What's that like, coming in so late in the week?
Oh my God, I can't believe we got a Thursday 2-hour slot. That's kind of one of the dream slots we were talking about all year that we wanted.
Yeah, so exciting.
Yeah, my week's been good. Naya, as you'd know, we're back at uni, which is so great. I'm loving it.
That 4-hour tutorial you told me about.
RSI?
It is 4 hours, yeah.
It is. I have another one this semester.
You guys have a 4-hour tutorial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's long. So for reporting sound and image, which is what you're doing, like you need it. Especially once the semester gets going, you need that 4 hours.
One class in and I'm still like, you know, the reaction at the end is still, oh my goodness, I'd done uni for like 7 or 8 hours straight. But I was like, I've just done 4 hours. That was exhausting, but totally understood. Like, we only scratched the surface and that was 4 hours.
Oh yeah, you need as much time with Premiere and Audition as possible. They are the worst. I felt very lucky because I already had a lot of experience with both of those. But
yeah.
I don't envy the people who are learning it for the first time in that class because it's not a great time. You guys probably have no clue what we're talking about. I'm so sorry.
For context, you guys are journalism students. Yeah.
We're journalism students at a uni in the city. Are we going to dox ourselves? I don't know. But but we're journalism students and this is one of the classes. I did it last year. Naya's doing it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
So just uni's been back. Been working. Not much has changed from last year. Yeah. It's the same cycle of uni work.
Yeah.
But yeah, well,
very good. Have you seen any unusual films lately?
Have I
that
seen
was sort
unusual
of where we landed
films.
At the end of last year. Yeah, you were seeing films that I'd never heard of.
That's fair. I've seen Dune 2 twice now.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
That's,
yeah.
Whoa.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't sit through the first one at home,
well,
but I wonder if it's different in the cinema.
You're so disappointing because I adore the first one.
Yeah,
my brother
does.
I saw the first one again in cinemas before the second one came out because I love the first one.
Oh, did they do that?
He did the full prep.
I was prepared. And then I saw it on opening day in IMAX in 70mm film. Beautiful. And
no
I
idea
did
what
that.
That means, but cool.
Yeah, it's great. That's all that matters. It's like the only place in the Southern Hemisphere where you can do that.
Oh, wow. Is that down the street?
Like, at Melbourne Museum.
Yeah.
Everyone was raving about that for Oppenheimer as well.
Oh, I did it three times for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, so I went there. I don't know if it's the 70 something or other that you were saying.
70mm.
Mm, that is... Yeah. is Are all the things they show there 70mm?
No, most of it is digital. Okay, it's very rare that a film gets released on 70mm.
Titanic in 3D there.
Oh,
recommend. That's my favourite film. So, but could I watch the second one if I don't remember anything except one giant sand monster eating people in the first one?
No.
So I do have to go home.
I think you should go back to
three hours watching the first one again.
I think you should. And also, it's only 2 hours and 35 minutes, the first one. The second one is 10 minutes longer. So.
I round that up. I round both of those things up to 3 hours.
Spoiler alerts, though, no. You dropped a big thing in the middle there.
Sand.
Yes.
Sandworms.
Have you seen Dune, Declan?
No, I haven't, actually.
Nothing?
It's great. It's really good.
Yeah, I might watch that.
But, yeah, Dune 2. That's all I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Mate and I are talking about seeing a movie that I saw at MIFF last year anyway, but I'm going to see it again, but I can't really say the title on air, but I'll talk about it off air,
yeah.
But if
Sounds
you're at all
good.
In the movie scene, you'll know which movie I'm talking about, because they censor the title in all of the emails I get sent about it.
That's too good.
But yeah, what about you, Casper? How's your week been?
Has been good. Also back at uni.
Oh, how's it been?
This is the first week I've had all my full subjects, so last week we started, and now I'm fully into what the routine will look like for the semester. It's crazy seeing everyone on campus, but I've really been enjoying it. It's been a good week.
That's great.
But coming up this weekend, I'm heading to Golden Plains, actually. So
oh, lovely.
We'll be happy to be there. Naya gave me a big little drop that so I'll be reviewing Golden Plains for Sin, and Naya was the one to let me know about that, so I applied through that.
Yeah. Wow. Media entry.
Look at
media
that.
Entries, yeah, yeah.
It's very exciting.
The doors are opening.
The EP is taking care of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Although no one has sent me their birthdays, which I'm just going to out everybody. I know when your birthday
is. You know
is
my
ready.
Birthday.
That's fine.
I think.
I put in a little thing in the chat and said, please send me your birthdays so, you know, we can make sure there's a cake because, you know, I want to look after you all. Nothing. Silence.
Radio silence.
Radio silence. So, you know, happy birthday. Oh, look at that. Okay. All right, Declan
just
you'll get
it.
A birthday cake.
I appreciated the lovely cupcakes that I had last year. So,
they were very fun.
Naya
and Bridie really
for.
Liked those little
the little
soccer
ball chocolates.
I want to have a Women's World Cup again this year in Australia.
I would love that.
It was That's a great really thing. Cool. We all got around it. Yeah. It was a good time. But Declan, how was your week, my guy?
Oh, my week's been good. Just busy at school. Doing my business management work and other VC work. It's very stressful, but that's all right, yeah.
Nice.
Haven't really done much other than, I went to the swimming, which I quite enjoyed on Monday afternoon, which was quite good. I think I might even go swimming on the weekend because it's going to be, 38.
Yeah,
37 tomorrow,
really
definitely. It's supposed to be hot all weekend,
Ooh,
I think.
Oh, I'm heading up to the
tomorrow's
mountains
Friday.
Tomorrow.
My bad.
Tomorrow is Friday. Tomorrow is an important day. We will be talking about that. Oh,
yeah.
Spoilers.
Wink,
spoilers.
Wink.
Let's.
Well, Naya, how was your week?
Oh, my week. Hang on. Oh, my week.
Don't skip over it.
Uni, yes.
Can't forget.
Did that. I managed to sneak into a doctor's appointment this morning. Apparently, if you call at 8:15 before they open, you can get last minute appointments. But all good. I injured my foot. Ballet.
Oh, God, are you all
very
right?
Normal. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I just
good.
Had to check that I was all right before I see the podiatrist, who I'm worried I'm going to get in trouble with because I did something wrong with my bandage. So, whoops. Oh well. But yes.
I hope
no.
your podiatrist isn't listening right now.
That would be a weird coincidence.
I think we're getting a call on the phone. Do you want to pick that one up?
I've just been fired by my podiatrist.
Fired by the podiatrist. The podiatrist pays you to go see them.
Bridie, come back. We're getting out of control.
We got out of control even with Bridie last year.
Good point. And I'd love to have a segue into the song, but, you know.
Is it Willow by Taylor Swift? I'm bringing it back.
We've been hearing that the last 3 weeks, it hasn't left it, especially with Taylor Swift coming around to Melbourne.
I'm glad, yeah. Bridie sent me a video of Taylor Swift performing Willow at the Eras Tour concert that she went to, because she sent me a video of it, and I'm like, that is the funniest thing.
I think that was the only song I filmed in full, because I was like, I need this. This is important. All right, this is Isolation by Iwa. I'm so sorry if I pronounced that wrong.
That song
title,
Vision
of Paradise,
describes exactly how I felt not doing Represent for 3 months.
Exactly. There we go. That was the temporary title of Freddie's own Represent show. Freddie Represent Isolation.
Isolated representation.
We will continue workshopping
on Sin Saturdays. No, it's not.
Straight after Sweet 16. Actually, I think that's on Sundays.
That's Sundays.
Never mind.
Come on, Naya. Brush up on your Sin trivia.
Yeah.
We will be back soon. You're listening to Sin.
This is your news here. I'm Declan Evans. A spokesperson from Compare to Market, David Kosh, argues the government is at fault for rising rents and landlords aren't to blame. The coalition is getting ready to present their election plans. Peter Dutton said he won't copy Labor and promised Aussies will get a clear pick at voting time. Northern Territory Police Minister defends sharing Facebook posts quoting Hitler General Anti-Black Lives Matter comments and calls for him to stand down as Northern Territory Chief Minister condemns his actions. Nine Southeast Asian leaders have joined hundreds of diplomatic academics and officials in Melbourne for the ASEAN Australia Special Summit for 2024. This year's Association of the Southeast Asian Nations Summit, hosted by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, is the biggest diplomatic gathering of world leaders in Australia since 2018. Paid parental leave overhaul is a new landmark policy unveiled as the super to be added to paid parental leave if the government, Labor government, wins next election, which is next year, costing approximately $200 million annually. Finance Minister Kate Gallagher has confirmed this new announcement.
We're back. You're listening to Sin. That was A Bit of Hell by Cry Club. I turned on an extra mic. We do not need that yet. All right.
Don't waste the sound waves.
To our favourite country in the world, there's a lot been happening. Casper, take it away.
We are talking about the US. The US, yes, as always, giving you their update in their election year. It's probably the biggest election to come this year.
Ooh.
Well, the biggest election always, pretty much. This morning we had some news. Nikki Haley has suspended overnight. She's suspended her presidential campaign. So that leaves Donald Trump as the only or the last major Republican candidate.
Does suspended mean ended?
Well, she gives a speech and basically says she's done.
Okay, so she won't run again.
She's not running. Okay. So she had no regrets about running, but there's a few talking points out of this as well. It pretty much means that we're definitely going to have a Biden versus Trump election, which I don't think anyone was...
That's not a surprise whatsoever.
100%.
Whoa, what a shocker.
But one of the main points, I guess, to talk about is actually that Nikki Haley, most of the presidential candidates, when they pull out of the race, they'll say, oh, now everyone go and vote for, like, don't vote for the Democrats, go vote for Trump, or go vote for, like, whoever they are putting forward. She's come out, and she, earlier had said, yeah, I'll support whoever our candidate is. Now she said she didn't endorse Donald Trump. So she said that he needs to earn the votes of all the supporters.
Wow.
So a bit of drama there.
A bit cryptic too.
Yeah, right. And there's not too much else to it. I think that Trump has been pretty aggressive towards her, sort of coming out and saying that so she was trounced last night. So it all comes after Super Tuesday, I should say. Super Tuesday is where many of the states do their primary votes, which is to elect who they're going to put forward for the presidential elections. Both the Democrats and the Republicans will do it in these states. And what's happened is that on this Super Tuesday, Trump absolutely wiped the floor in the Republican primary candidacies. Thank you. Across the states. Thank you.
Finish each other's sentences in this team.
And now, so Haley's pretty much seen those results and gone, I can't win this now, so we're going to hand it over. But Trump came out with some pretty strong words. It's nothing new. It will make the whole race sort of the same as we thought it would be. And now it's a vote in America. So all eyes sort of hone in on Trump and what he says now. And I guess he can probably start thinking about attacking Biden in all aspects rather than thinking about anything in the Republican Party. That's pretty much it for the Super Tuesday and for Nikki Haley. She did well to beat out a lot of other candidates as well. People like Ron DeSantis and people like I believe.
Sorry, was Ron DeSantis running in Super Tuesday? I thought he suspended his.
No, much earlier. This is much earlier.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, yep. So in the Republican run, the run for the candidacy,
yeah.
She'd already beaten him out. She'd beaten out some others, and it was basically Trump and her left standing. I think a few of those others slipped on some banana peels along the way.
Yeah,
stuffed themselves up a bit. Yeah. So pretty much she was probably more reasonable than Trump, I think we could say, but also had her
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Her aspects?
Her own little Nikki Haley-isms, I guess. I don't know how to describe it.
And yeah. The way that she's come out and said that she won't support Trump or that people shouldn't vote, the reason that a lot of people will do that when they suspend their campaign is because they kind of want to secure their own position if, for example, Trump were to win the election, they want to secure a position in government. They want to get the best spot they can, secure their next job, so they'll say that they now support the president-to-be. That's some words.
This really could be detrimental to her should he become president.
It's pretty much certain that it will be detrimental. She's actually, I think, so here she's also... Miss Haley, so according to the ABC, she has said that while she's campaigning so for being anyone's vice president, she's actually going to say now that she's not going to be a vice president to Trump. So she doesn't want that position. She doesn't want to be in that area. And that means that, pretty much she's removing herself from being a main player in any sort of Trump government that might come forward. That's pretty much the
Which isn't a shocker, I guess. It also just drives home even more how divided the Republican Party is in America.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we saw it last year, we're seeing it again this year. Nothing changes. Nothing changes.
Yeah. So never-ending cycle of Republican
polarization.
It'll be interesting to see, though, whether that division actually has an impact on their votes when we do come to Election Day, though, because if they still perform well, it may mean that division is not applicable.
They're going to have to find a way over it if Trump becomes president.
Yeah. Just got to say, yes, sir.
But will he? That's the big question we're asking in November. Not right now.
So
we can ask it now.
We can ask it now.
We can ask it now if anyone has a take on it.
Yeah, if he'll become president?
If he'll become president?
I think he will become president.
Yeah, okay. We're also, I agree. I think
he will, but I don't think Biden will either.
What? Are you saying an independent will win?
The Greens.
The Greens.
The Greens.
It's a crossover.
This
could go many ways.
Naya's actually running for president.
I am.
Surprise!
Bernie will be the Speaker of the House.
I never made that.
And Casper will be the Vice President.
Pelosi.
I imagine, like, we're inconsolable here. I just think until November, like, November is a long way away. I mean, in November, I'll be like, wow, it went so quickly. I think it's a long way away and so much talk. There's been so much talk about world leaders across the globe and their ability to perform at an older age. And if that does transpire, I can imagine that...
This has gotten dark. Wow.
I'm just saying if it does so happen that he can't run... I still think that there's the possibility they'll put forward someone strong enough to...
By November.
Win by November. I would like to see that happen because I think it would be complicated and I enjoy...
Well, we don't want to wish ill on anyone. But
yeah, of course.
Oh, no. Just whether or not he'll still
be in the situation.
Feel comfortable enough to run as president. Because he could still continue politics without running as president.
Of course.
That load is... I presume, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but I presume quite enormous.
Well, I mean, I feel like the ship has kind of sailed on Biden stepping down and the Democrats putting up someone else, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, it's March now.
I did think they might have put up Kamala Harris. I don't know. I think there was talk about it, but I think there'll be talk about that for every year that she is deputy.
I don't, yeah. And has she ever really shown that much... aspiration to be president?
Not overtly.
Of course she wouldn't overtly.
I don't think they would after we've seen how other sort of that second in charge or slightly lower rank women in politics when they have run slightly further ahead, the drop in their support when they run for that top job.
Yeah, it's a well-documented process.
Yeah, could... what's the word? Defer? No, not defer. Deter. One letter away.
Yeah.
Deter you from wanting to run. So that any other comments for America?
We'll keep checking in as the year goes by.
It will be a big year. It feels bigger than an Australian election in that they've got all this like pre-selection quite publicly.
Yeah, it goes on for a while.
It's a huge just show.
Yeah.
In America, it's a giant circus. It's hilarious.
We can only say that because we're over here.
Yeah, yeah. But we get all the media.
We watch it all. Like, you know, it makes up a pretty big part of the Australian news cycle reporting on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think also a lot of people have probably spoken about this, or you might have spoken about it on the show, but one thing that I genuinely seem to feel every time we have an election or every time the US has an election, that all these, like, it feels a lot like a Super Bowl in the way that they do the TV as well. They have the candidates up, and then they do these, like, where it comes across the screen, and it's like versus each other, and they put their stats against each other. It does feel like you're sort of pitting sumo wrestlers or wrestlers against each other.
Yeah.
In that manner has always felt, like, even though we may refer to our government as, say, the Albanese government or the Allen government in Victoria at the moment, I don't think, even though we would say it's gotten more personal since, I think it was the 80s or 90s, politics and media in Australia seem to become more personal. I think America takes that to another level with it is Trump or Biden. It's not so much Democrats or Republicans, whereas we, I think, would probably, and I mean, we can compare it next year when we will have two years consecutively of the US and then Australia, whether they are more personal. But that sort of screening of this content does make it very personal.
All that populism.
Anyway.
True that. Yeah.
I feel like this could be, you know, a timely song. We're gonna jump quickly to a song. This is Oh No by Wet Leg, which I feel like I feel a lot when we're like, oh, back to election. Oh no, what's happened? What's changed? What do I need to keep
Whenever
on
I
of?
Hear about American election news, I'm like, oh yes, what's happened? It's easy content. It's so funny. I love a good American election because it's a total disaster every time. So I love it. I'm
All
a big
right,
fan.
Here we go.
Well,
oh no, and oh yay from Freddie. You're listening to Sin.
Welcome back to Represent. You're with Freddie, Naya, Declan, Casper, and we've got two very special guests here from the Youth Press Gallery. They're going to be talking about the program. So we have the program leaders, I believe, Ruby Sate, who has volunteered on the Youth Press Gallery program for 3 years after having first participated in 2021, and she's currently studying journalism. We've also got Ravin Desai, who is one of the leaders and has been involved in youth advocacy with being the past head of media and comms for Make It 16, the campaign to lower the voting age to 16, which we talked about last year on the show. Naya and I had the same brainwave. And he is also a first-year uni student and cannot wait for Youth Parliament. Guys, how are we going today?
So good.
So good.
That's great to hear. So obviously you're very pumped up for Youth Press Gallery. What's the program all about?
Yeah, so Youth Press Gallery is a chance for young aspiring journalists to get hands-on experience reporting on bills created by youth parliamentarians that are later debated about in Parliament House.
Wow, it's a really cool program. Who can get involved?
Well, anyone can get involved as long as you're 16 to 25 and living in Victoria. If, like, high school, university, you don't even have to go to university or high school, like, be in high school. You just have to have a passion and an interest in learning about journalism. That's all it really takes.
And you don't have to have any past experience at all. You could be a complete novice, or you could also be someone who's been really into it for a long time. There's always things to do for you. And it's such a fantastic program, because not only will you be working alongside a team of really passionate young people who are all interested in producing fantastic pieces, you'll also be in a larger youth parliament of other passionate young people who all have all these exceptional ideas and all these really interesting bills, which can actually become law and have many times before.
So what examples have, like have there been things that, yeah, well, there's heaps of examples because things end up in the ABC 9 News. Like, it actually does end up in the media, which is so exciting for the members of the program, I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely. When I participated in 2021, I ended up reporting on the Wellington team bill at the time, and I got published with the Gippsland Times, and then I ended up having my getting interviewed by ABC and then ended up doing an internship with them. So it actually opens up a lot of doors for you being on the program, but also not only do you get to be around like-minded people and also the youth parliamentarians, you also have the amazing task force that actually take their time by volunteering and producing all the sessions or making sure that you get to interact with industry professionals and have the best experience possible. So it's really beneficial, and I think that those that are wanting to get outside their comfort zone or learn something new and experience something and be a part of a great community, it's definitely the place to be.
Definitely. And so these sessions sound quite interesting. I'm assuming these are the things you do in the lead up to Youth Parliament beginning. Talk us through some of those sessions. What do you learn?
Yeah, so it's all sorts of skills, whether that be content creation for social media, videography skills, writing, so simple things like writing an article, for example. The list kind of goes on, but it's really just learning all of the skills that you will need for a busy week of Youth Parliament, sitting in Parliament House, and it really will equip you for not only, you know, reporting on bills in Parliament, but potentially pursuing a career in media or a passion in media later on.
And we also like teach like the real basics, so like how to interview, how to interact with people, how to have that confidence to know what you are going to say when you're interviewing someone and know what questions to ask, because it can be really hard to figure out what to ask someone when it comes to what you want to write about, and also how to find a story, how to handle a camera, how to figure out, like, do you want to write a feature article? Do you want to write a news article? Like, what do you want to get out of this program? And we help you from like with that, and then you can get that experience and also interact with people. And it honestly boggles my mind sometimes that this program exists, because it's just so amazing.
This is all free and volunteer run, right?
Yeah, so Youth Press Gallery is a free program. All you have to do is apply, and what we look for when you apply is, have you been interacting with the community? Do you have, like, what is your passion? Because we want to know that this program will be beneficial to you. So we, like, if you are really interested in photography, tell us why, because then we have an idea of how we can best support you if you're successful in getting onto the program. So, like, it's just really one of those things where it's like, try and imagine what you could get out of this program, and then you can see it come to life by doing it.
And I can say, as well, as a past participant of the Youth Parliament program, it's pretty unreal to be quite literally sitting in the halls of Parliament for a whole week. And, you know, utilising all these things that members of the general public usually just don't have access to, and assuming that role and meeting other politicians and meeting all these interesting people who could potentially be connections for a lifetime. But above that, meeting fantastic friends. Some of my greatest friends come from the Youth Parliament program, and that's just because you're in a place with so many like-minded people who are all just so passionate about what they're doing.
I can see Naya getting really excited about the prospect of being in Parliament House, because she's like one of the biggest Parliament House nerds that I know. And it's so amazing. But it sounds amazing with all of the people you can meet. Like, who are some of the people that you guys have met in the program?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. do you want to answer
this
one? I've
got a fun story, actually.
Yeah, go.
I was just going to the bathroom in Parliament, as you do. And
how's the bathroom in Parliament?
It's nice. You'd hope it's nice, but it's nice. And I was washing my hands.
Our tax dollars paid for that, so I'd hope so.
Yeah, exactly. I was washing my hands, and next to me was James Molino.
Who
was the Education Minister at the time, I think. Although, I think it was a day after he had changed roles in the party. So he was keeping a low profile. And it was so awkward. I was like, "Hi, James." And he obviously didn't know who I was. But it was a pretty cool experience. And alongside that, there were heaps of staff members and politicians at Victorian Parliament that we got to meet, who are all really lovely. And it's just it's a really, really nice place to be. So aside from my awkward interaction with James, there have been a lot of really interesting people who I've met along the way.
And we definitely, like, when it comes to Youth Press Gallery, we, over the period between once applications are accepted and the training weekend and then the week of, we actually have people come in and be guest speakers and actually have them talk. So industry professionals, so journalists, photographers, videographers, we will, like, plan and, like, figure out and use our connections to actually find people that would be beneficial to talk to participants so that they can actually not only get, like, connections with people, but also learn from them and actually hear actual real life events that have happened in someone's profession, and then they can figure out if that's something that they want to do and get advice and stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, and that training weekend that you mentioned, because I know that that's definitely one of the highlights of the program, or I know, Ruby, you think of it that way, definitely.
Yeah, I talk about Youth Press Gallery a lot. So basically a bit of a rundown. The Youth Press Gallery and Youth Parliament is broken up into some online meetings, then a training weekend where it's going to be the first time that everyone meets each other. We'll go to the beautiful Lake Jewell Discovery Camp that is owned by the YMCA, and we'll do sessions, we will be able to the Youth Press Gallery journalists will be able to interview their teams and the bills that they are going to be reporting on, and then that will be the lead up to the big week of Youth Parliament, which is the big show that happens. So 3 days we will be at Parliament House, which will be Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, which will be between the 30th and the 5th. So the 30th of June and the 5th of July this year. But also, like, being on camp, it's not just the serious bill writing, speech writing, reporting on those bills. It's actually about creating connections. So we actually get to do a lot of fun activities. We get to do a lot of training exercises, team building. Like, do you want to actually take this?
Yeah, so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to exactly describe what you do in the week because it's so jam-packed, but I can guarantee you that you do not get up at like 7 a.m. in the morning and then work until 11 o'clock at night. It's more like, you know, actually having a lot of fun. And there are just so many different fun activities. I know personally, like, one of my closest friends is from Youth Parliament, and I think we met at... would have been one of, like, the mock debates that we did on one of the bills. Mm. And the Youth Press Gallery get to, you know, they get to experience that as well and have a different perspective, that media perspective, but they also get to, like, obviously hang out with all of the people who are also doing the Youth Parliament program.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds so exciting. So if I wanted to get involved, and I'm sure many of our listeners do, the applications close next Friday, I believe, the 15th?
Yes, so they do close the 15th of March at 11:59 p.m. And to apply, you can either go to the Youth Parliament Victoria Instagram page, and you can find the details there, or you can go to the Youth Press Gallery website. There will be an application pack and a bunch of information there. We do have a training day on the... I want to say the 7th of April.
I forgot the date as well.
You'll see it in the application pack, but it has all the details of, like, what to expect, how to apply. But, like, at the end of the day, when applying, the best thing to do is, in my opinion, is put anything and everything into your application, because the more you put, the better your outcome is of actually being successful onto the program, because we can actually, like, know what you want to get out of it and how we can best support you. So don't be afraid that you might be writing too much. There is no word count and word limit, so just go for it. Like, show us how passionate you are.
Yeah, that's all it is. If anything, all we want to see is just your passion, and, you know, what you're looking forward to in the program. Mm-hmm. And all of that.
And, like, we do ask that you do send us your CV and resume. You don't need to have a portfolio if you haven't done prior work, but if you do, we would love to see it. But at the end of the day, when it comes to your CV, we'd love to just kind of see what you've previously done, like, what your experience is, and it's just like a good way for us to kind of know what and kind of get an idea of who you are. But yeah.
Definitely. So definitely get on to applying for that. Just Google Youth Press Gallery Victoria. It'll come up. I just did it and it came up. So that's how I know it comes up.
Perfect.
It would suck if it didn't come up and I said that. So I had to check. But Ruby, Ravin, thank you very much for coming in. And hopefully we'll be hearing much more about the program very, very soon.
100%.
Thank you, guys.
There we go.
Thank you.
This is your news here. I'm Declan Evans. A spokesperson from Compare the Market, David Kosh, argues the government is at fault for rising rents and landlords aren't to blame. The coalition is getting ready to present their election plans. Peter Dutton said he won't copy Labor and promised Aussies will get a clear pick at voting time. Northern Territory Police Minister defends sharing Facebook posts quoting Hitler General, anti-Black Lives Matter comments amid calls for him to stand down as Northern Territory Chief Minister, as he condemns his actions. Nine Southeast Asian leaders have joined hundreds of diplomats, academics and officials in Melbourne for the ASEAN-Australian Special Summit for 2024. This year's Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, Summit, hosted by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, is the biggest diplomatic gathering of world leaders in Australia since 2018. Paid parental leave overhaul is a new landmark policy unveiled, as super is to be added to paid parental leave if the Labor government wins the next election, which starts next year, costing approximately $200 million annually. Finance Minister Katie Gallagher has confirmed this new announcement.
We're back. That was a very, very good interview. I now want to get involved. Everyone else going to get involved?
Yep, I do.
Everyone should apply.
Everyone, yep.
Just a quick back announce on that song.
Yes.
I was going to say, are we going to forget about that?
No, I wanted to give a special mention. The Pink Milk from the Vovos was the last song played, and that's off their new album, Lila Gubbin. And the reason I mention that specially is because it's a Sweet 16 is an album from Sin. We put that up, I think, last Sunday. It's the local album. They're Melbourne-based, so that's Pink Milk from the Vovos. Yeah. That's
so.
Back announcing done.
Yeah.
Getting better
some,
at that.
I feel like some
good job
right
now.
I feel like that's your gig.
Maybe, yeah.
The back announcer. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the fact that I have only posted once on the socials.
Oh, controversial. We'll have to get the memes going again.
We do.
This year. Because we had, I was going to say we had a few, but we had one last year that I think turned out quite well.
You know the reason we haven't had the memes?
Is it because
our meme maker has been
there? I'm back, guys. Don't worry. I'm back. I still have the one from the end of last year that we were going to make, but it was only Bridie and I that week, I think. Oh, were you here too? I can't.
I feel like I was here for one of them, but we didn't end up taking the photo.
No, yeah, but
maybe we'll just have to bring that one late.
I still have the photos.
Oh, there we go.
So
okay,
we're good. I'll make it.
Come
Don't
on,
worry.
Edit,
this is the
chop,
moment.
Chop.
But you know where I'd post those photos?
Yeah.
On Facebook, probably.
Segway.
Which segues perfectly. Which segues perfectly. Or Instagram, which is owned by Meta. Meta's been in the news recently, guys. I don't know if you've noticed this. Where it was announced that Meta is pulling out of its deals with Australian news publishers, which is very interesting. So there's a bit of background to this. If you missed it back in 2021, which I wouldn't blame you, the federal government introduced the News Media Bargaining Code in 2021, which set out laws requiring designated platforms, that's an important part, designated platforms, to pay news media for their content that's published on social media, like Facebook. No platforms were initially designated, and none of them still are. So that's the important thing. They have to be designated. Facebook isn't designated. Instagram isn't. None of them are, right? So
is
no
Google?
One... Google is not.
Okay.
So none of them technically have to pay by law to do it. So... when this was introduced, or was in the process of being passed through Parliament, Facebook temporarily removed all news content from its Australian platform. This locked publishers out of their accounts, it stopped them from posting new news content, and was hiding any content that was already posted, because this was their way of protesting the laws that obviously they don't benefit from, because they have to pay for the news content, which they don't want to do because they're Facebook and they want to make a profit. So eventually the owner of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, this collective company, is named Meta. They signed deals with publishers for their news to avoid being designated.
This resulted in launching the Facebook News tab, which I only just found out about last week.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, have you guys ever heard of the Facebook News tab? Because
no.
I never have.
I got lost in Facebook about 3 days ago, and it was just after this had come out.
There's just people hanging outside the window. I don't know what's going on. Hi.
Fuck Martin Place in Sydney.
Alive on air, wave
along. Fuck Martin Place in Sydney, you got everyone.
Yeah, oh yeah, like the Sunrise Place.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I'd never heard of the Facebook News tab until last week, but, this was a designated spot on Facebook to find news from those publishers. So think like ABC, News Corp, 9, 7, 10. Google also signed similar deals and introduced something similar called the Google News Showcase, which is something within the Google News app, which I did actually know existed before last week. So good work, Google. But last Friday, Meta sent out a press release announcing it was removing the Facebook News tab on the platform and not renewing deals it has with news publishers once they expire, which is pretty big.
I have it open right now.
Yeah, the Facebook News tab.
Yep, and okay. It says right up the top is this big notice with the yellow triangle and the little exclamation mark warning, and it says Facebook News is going away soon.
Yeah, what a I'm sure all...
And I can learn more if I want, or I can view my information.
I'm sure all the person are really sad that it's going away.
I love the way... that is such a normal way to write something, but it's going away.
Yeah. So Meta said the decision was to, quote, better align our investments to our products and services people value the most.
That's a lot of big words.
And they said that people don't go to Facebook for news, which I think is quite interesting. Do you guys use Facebook for your news?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think they've got that right. Also, don't use Instagram for news. Oh, neither. Actually...
Daily Oz.
Yeah,
yes.
I was about to say. You really pulled me out of
it. I love the Daily Oz.
Yeah.
Did you get the newsletter?
Yeah, I do also get the newsletter. But to be fair, I don't really read the newsletter. I look at the Instagram.
Yeah, that's what I get it from most as well, which is interesting. But the Daily Oz is like the only place on Instagram where I get my news. And Facebook, I don't really use it for news either.
I feel so old-fashioned.
Following some others, but
you
I guess...
You do use Facebook for news, or...?
No, there's no social media. I just go... It's nice to
newspapers.
Yeah, the physical hard copy of
it. I respect it.
Or I will go and find it through the news outlet. And I've actually... Although, if someone dies, I will find that out on Facebook or Instagram, because it's just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But only that sudden news. I've just noticed, I went through a phase of trying to follow, every... news outlet. I was like, I'm going to get it from, the quickest source, social media. And then I went, no, I don't like this. This is too quick and it's everywhere. That's why, this is just a personal anecdote. I deleted all of that and went, nope. I just want to get it from my, big paper and then the online paper.
Fair enough. Meta says links will still be able to be published on the platforms and publishers will still have access to it, to their accounts, so there isn't a total blockage of news.
So say the ABC could still publish.
Yeah, you can still publish news, which is different from what they were doing before the law was introduced, where they tried to protest it by no news anywhere,
at all.
No one.
Wow.
And this is actually something that's being done in Canada at the moment, where there is a total blockage of news on any Meta platforms, because Canada has similar legislations where Facebook is actually by law required to pay for news. So if you try and go through any news page on Facebook or Instagram in Canada, it comes up with this really salty message that says, due to Canadian legislation, you can't see news on this platform. It's really salty. It's ridiculous. But so news publishers with these deals, so News Corp, 9, 7, 10, ABC, and others, the Daily Oz does not have one of those deals, I'll just chuck it out there.
Yes, they did say that.
Have said they will lose millions of dollars in funding provided by those deals, and they are calling for Meta to be designated as a platform, so they would be required by law to come to the negotiating table. ABC has particularly highlighted that its Meta deal allowed it to hire 60 regional journalists and open 10 new regional newsrooms. So this is there is good money being used here. And of course, we all know how cash-strapped the ABC is.
Yeah.
So it's good for the ABC to have that. So with this deal no longer being in effect, we could see a retraction of regional news, which is devastating, to say the least. The federal government has expressed its concern and saying it's considering its options. So this option would hypothetically be to designate Meta and make it pay for the news content.
But that could risk Meta then preventing anyone from posting news.
Exactly. So if that happened, the idea would be that that would happen where what it'd go back to where the protest, all the news publishers are cut off from their accounts. If you post a news link, nope, just deletes immediately. No news on Facebook or Instagram. So it doesn't sound like from anyone in this room that great value will be lost there. Yeah.
No,
but still, like this isn't, and this is how people get their news now. It does happen.
I was going to jump in on that. Mm. I mean, we hear a lot about the algorithm. It feels like something in the Matrix, but it's real. it's a little bit terrifying. But I do wonder if, because we hear about the algorithm, I'm doing that in like quotations. The algorithm is essentially made and manufactured in a way that it will present you with things that you agree with and will reaffirm your view. And I'm sure we know that not every news site available is going to be reliable. So there are, I'm sure, heaps of news sites that would be posting not necessarily verified news. And I wonder if removing all of it prevents that, just that little bit of the algorithm actually, like, because it's one thing to have someone else's post. So this is such a long-winded end of the week way to describe something.
I think I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're trying to say
you have
like
other people's posts coming into your feed, but then to have a news source from wherever it's coming from, reliable or not, validating your view, it's much easier to go, oh, well, I saw it in the news. But to wipe that all, I wonder if that'll prevent a bit of algorithmic confirmation of potentially harmful views.
Definitely, because one thing that I will mention is Meta affirmed its third-party fact-checking program, where that's still going to continue. But I don't know how you guys browse Facebook or Instagram, but I think I can count the amount of times that I've seen a third-party fact-check on one hand. I never. Yeah. And I've seen some weird stuff on Facebook.
A little bit
on
Twitter towards the end before it was X. But I only find it when I'm, like, in uni searching something of, you know, something that's got contentious issues around it, and it will then find stuff that has been listed as fake news, but it's hard to just come across.
I'd say this whole the difficulty in the fact checking, the way that the tensions are coming up with the government, and also the situation of whether Facebook will pay or not, also about these, like, the more polarizing and the reaffirming of your views, so you then end up in an echo chamber. It all speaks to, and based on the algorithm with quotation marks, it all speaks to some of the incredible power that I guess Facebook holds to be able to then, if they were to pay, they just withdraw, and then we'd have to deal with the consequences. And for them, it would be an economic blunder, but ultimately, like, it's not. We're the ones that suffer then. And I guess it speaks to the lack of accountability that a lot of these guys, that Facebook and Meta has, or Google as well. But I think it's a pretty grim situation for news.
Yeah.
There's no win-win at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. So this isn't the only country that it's happening in either. As I just said, Canada lost all its news content on Meta platforms. Meta last year let similar deals lapse in the US and the UK, while they're also shutting down the news tab in France and Germany at this, I believe that was last year. The US is losing it as well the same time we are in April. So Meta's pulling out. They're like, I'm not paying you anymore. So yeah, it's also been reported that the Australian government reached out to TikTok last week and told it that it is expected to start paying for news content too. And I don't personally use TikTok, but is news content that prevalent on TikTok? I don't know.
I know it's becoming more so in that, like, there's modernization of, like, the way news outlets use the platforms, but I don't see much of it.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So I want to get your stances on this. What do we all think? Should Meta be designated? Should they be paying? What do you guys think? Because I have my take, which I told you guys, but I want to hear what you guys think first.
Silence of the
I was going to say.
News needs to be funded. It needs to come from somewhere. And to have it on their platform, on surface level, it does seem like Facebook and Meta should be paying for the news that's going on.
You mean like
there.
Meta and Google?
Meta and Google, pardon me. Yeah. Should be paying for the news that's going on their sites. Considering that people, like particularly Google, people go to Google for news to search and use that, and also for Facebook to still publish that. They still get a lot of traction through that. And news, as we see, like with TikTok, or for example, I'm just going to bring up the Daily Oz again, but The Age is doing it. They're all creating stuff for social media now. So they'll have that journalist on the street that does that Vox Pop interview in the vertical format, and then they'll put that up there. So it's tailoring towards these platforms. So these platforms are benefiting from this. Whether or not that's their fault and they should be paying for that is another question, but I do think that they probably should be paying someone something. Yeah.
I'd agree with news has to be funded. But I'm quite happy to remove news from social media sites. I don't think it's, at this point, the place for it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that they should be funded because how else are stories going to be told? It's quite interesting how Meta isn't really wanting to pay. It's quite interesting.
So, I have my controversial take.
Here we go.
Because I want to talk through it because it's definitely not the most popular take out there.
Maybe you'll sell it to us.
Maybe I'll sell it to you. But I think the news media bargaining code is a bit of a joke, to put it out there. So, I want to talk through that. So, essentially, what I find issue that Meta is being made to pay, because nobody is making those news platforms put their news on the platforms, right? So, it's all put up there voluntarily. No one makes them do it. They do it because there's growth in doing that, right? Second, when you put up news on Meta, on a Meta platform, it's not like you're putting up a whole article, right? You're putting a link to your website. People click that link, people then leave Facebook and go to your website, where then they see your ads on your website, which you make money off. Facebook isn't taking that away.
Like, so entire things aren't published on Facebook is your argument.
But yeah, you're not getting like just written in a Facebook post. The Facebook post has like probably like a 2-line summary and then a link. And most of the time, if you're interested in that news story, you're clicking that link. You're going to that website where your like paid links, your ads, your whatever, they're displayed, and then the news company is making the money off that. If they weren't posting those links on Meta, like no one would be clicking on those links, right? So it doesn't make sense to me how, like, why exactly Meta is paying the news companies for the news companies to voluntarily put their links on their pages, right?
Yeah, because essentially the way, I mean, I haven't really heard it like this, but I'm liking it. Essentially, it is paid advertising reversed.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
Now, yeah.
So what is... Oh, I'm sure you've already said this, but maybe it's just left my brain. What reason does the government give for them having to pay for this news?
Well, that's what I don't understand, because everything that I've read, the whole argument is that, like, Meta... And Google, now Google, my opinion's different. I think Google should be paying because Google's system is a lot different.
Google would get something out of, they would get publicity from having news, but I wouldn't say Facebook's getting new members.
Yeah, so
from having news.
What Google does is they have their little, it's called web crawlers, and essentially they scour the internet for links. They'll like, if like they, like for example, a web crawler goes to like abcnews.net, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it clicks every link on that homepage. Then it clicks every link on each of those pages and just keeps going until it's got the whole website, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's how the search results in Google come
Wait,
up.
Really? Oh,
that's
wow.
how it happens.
Web crawlers is such a ominous name.
Yeah, I know.
Too.
That's what it's called. Like, and TikTok has a very similar system. I don't think Facebook does because they're not a search engine.
Right.
But that's how Google works. So, and then they display it on their page. I think Google should be paying something because they're like no one, like, you know, news companies aren't volunteering to that. Google is just doing that. And then Google also has a system called, I don't know if they're still 100% doing it. I think I read something about it recently, but they have a system called AMP, where if you click on a link on a Google site on your phone, instead of actually going to that site, Google mirrors that site, which supposedly makes it load faster, but it also takes out all of the sponsored links, all of the ads. Technically a better experience for us,
yeah,
but also the media companies aren't getting, you know, the metrics that you get from the person going to their site. So I think Google should be paying for that.
Yeah.
Google should be paying. But Meta, I don't understand, because the news companies are putting it up voluntarily. If they didn't want to, or they didn't want to do it for free, they shouldn't be. Just don't. But they're clearly doing it for a reason, because now all of a sudden they're kicking up a stink about it.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. So what I think should be done, personally, is very similar to what happens on YouTube. Ad sharing. Share the revenue of the ads that appear on the homepage, which is a system that I believe Facebook is implementing for its video content, and theoretically those news publishers would already be in that system regardless of these special deals. But I don't know if I'm missing something, but I don't understand why Meta should be paying Channel 9, because Channel 9 wants to upload its video to Facebook.
Yeah.
Meta's not stealing anything, unless I'm completely missing something.
Yeah, tweet us if you know more.
Yeah.
On X.
We'd love to hear it.
Or Facebook. We do have Facebook, but I'm really bad at working out how to.
I would love to be proven wrong
in
this.
Speaking of the socials.
I'd love to be proven wrong, but I don't at all understand why Meta should be paying them to put a link on their page, which then makes them leave Facebook and go to their website, where basically, if I click on a link on news.com.au, I leave Facebook, I go to news.com.au, I see all of the ads, just as I would have if I started reading the news on news.com.au. I see all the ads, I'm basically in their domain, I'm off Facebook. I just don't understand it.
I've got a question though.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a news tab on Facebook.
Yes.
Right? Does Facebook then choose what goes on that news tab? Or can I go on and post something that's on a news tab?
So I think on the news tab, it's only the organizations that Facebook has deals with, and it's just whatever they put on their Facebook page.
Right, okay.
So it's I don't know, I checked it out once when I heard it was going away, and it was literally just a normal Facebook feed, but just only the news
pages.
Only the
news things.
So yeah, that's my two cents. Controversial take. But unless I'm totally wrong, I'd love to be proven wrong.
It seems reasonable, but on that news tag, I think, news tab, on that news tab, I think that if they have those deals need to be there still. For the news tab. But if they take away the news, the deals for the news tab, then yeah, you're right. They can take away their news.
Well, yeah, they're ripping the news tab away, I don't see why they should be paying them.
Yeah, they shouldn't be paying.
It's a bit silly. But yeah. That's it.
Full circle.
Please prove me wrong.
Yeah, and in a few weeks' time, I'm sure we'll start to see what change will come on the platform.
Yeah, we will. It'll be interesting, but yeah.
And on that note, let's jump very quickly to a song, and then we will be back for
The news should be funded. The news should be funded. I do want to say that.
Yes.
Fund the news. I do need to say that.
For the final segment of the day, what's happening in the world? Everyone's favourite. You're listening to Sin. We're back. We're just briefing. We now have four people at the mics, but Declan isn't one of them. Ruby, you're back.
Hi.
Just for our last little moment, everybody's favourite segment. Well, it's sort of our own only set segment, What's Happening in the World. The idea is that we, for anyone who hasn't heard yet, I have a little jar, which might be up here, where we work through as many countries as we can in the world to get a bit of an update and to broaden our understanding. We talk a lot about the US and Australia. Let's get around it. So it's a bit of a not super, super positive one today, but Casper, do you want to give us our announcement?
No. A lot of the world news at the moment hasn't been particularly positive from what we've been pulling out of the hat. Today we are talking about Sudan, which we picked out last week, and Sierra Leone. But to start with Sudan, this will be more of an announcement considering that they're currently at war. 2023 was a pretty bad year for Sudan. That's after a military coup in 2021. The two major generals have now split and started a war. On the 15th of April 2023, conflict broke out between the Sudanese Armed Forces, or the SAF, and Rapid Support Forces, the RSF. And before they had, as I said, done a military coup, they've now been at war for almost a year. The chief of the SAF is, or the chief general is Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and his former deputy is now the leader of the RSF, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo. So
It's been a pretty brutal conflict. As of September last year, the United Nations had reported almost 9,000 people had been killed since the start of the conflict, and Human Rights Network has said that this is most likely a significant understatement. It's also the UN has also raised concerns about the increase in sexual violence during the conflict, and the conflict has had some pretty big impacts on Sudan as a country. It's caused mass displacement, including sort of 5.9 people, and again, this is September last year, so that's increased significantly. 5.9 people internally have been displaced, and then 1.4 million refugees have fled to neighbouring countries. And it's also obviously caused a big economic crisis because of rising inflation around the world, but also key infrastructure and the economy has been destroyed, and then the economy has been crippled. Healthcare services in particular have been the ones to fall apart. And so now it risks, according to Al Jazeera, it risks being, and the World Food Program, it risks being one of the countries that's sort of going into the world's largest hunger crisis. 25 million people, require humanitarian aid, specifically across Sudan, South Sudan, and Chad. And pretty much there's very little sight to the end of the conflict. Humanitarian aid, as I spoke about, is finding it increasingly difficult in that area to get in because of the worsening situation. Also, with the Red Sea, the conflict being in the Red Sea, it's preventing sort of shipments coming in. There's lack of humanitarian aid in that direction. And organizations such as the International Rescue Committee, and Medecins Sans Frontières, they're being heavily impacted by this. They're calling for more support and awareness around these situations. As I said, this is not a very positive news segment, but I think it's important to speak about some of the conflicts that are going on across the world. So Sudan is having a really difficult time at the moment, and I hope the situation improves. Can only hope that there's some resolution that can come out of this and the lives of people can be improved. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. I will just jump in with helplines because it can be hard hearing about this, especially if you know people in those areas or if you've experienced something similar. So Beyond Blue is 1300 22 46 36, Lifeline 13 11 14, the Kids Helpline for all the young listeners 1800 55 1800, and the National Sexual Assault, Family and Domestic Violence Counselling Line is 1800 Respect 1800 737 732. Now we're going to go to actually next door to where we were last week in Guinea. We're in Sierra Leone, which briefly it became a republic within the Commonwealth in 1971. And they had a 1971 constitution. Then they became a one-party republic in 78 with an all-people's congress. In 1991, they got a new constitution. This is sounding very similar to last week with lots of constitutions. Less than a year later, in 92, there was a military coup and the National Provisional Ruling Council was established and the House of Reps was dissolved. Very similar to last week, the coups also suspend each constitution when that occurs. The NRPC then became the Supreme Council of the state, and a council of secretaries replaced the cabinet. And at this point, they were under military law. Then in 96, there were democratic elections again, and the 91 constitution was amended and reinstated, and they returned to the multiple party system that they had prior to the coup. In 97, it was suspended again, and in 98, it was reinstated. Now, the current president is Julius Maada Bio. It might be Bio. I did try to find a correct pronunciation, but I found two. Get on our socials and let us know if you know which one it is. And it always alarms me a little bit when I find multiple pronunciations. He has been president since April 2018. From what I can find, a president can serve up to two terms, each of which is 5 years, but we do, of course, have that thing with the military stepping in. They follow the British law style in their courts. I love doing the background, as Freddie will come to know as you come on the show. I like doing a very in-depth background to it. And they did have a civil war between 91 and 2002 when Liberia next door was experiencing their own conflict and that conflict moved into Sierra Leone. But then not only were they under attack by Liberia's troops, internal revolutionary united fronts, which had been led by someone who was, I believe, a general in Sierra Leone's army, had started and led that. 11 years later, it ended. Recently, it's not heaps happening sort of in this February period, but in January, the BBC announced that the ex-president, Ernest Karama, had travelled to Nigeria to receive medical care, which was described by the current president, as a, quote, humanitarian gesture. This is due to being in a treason trial, which will occur in March. So they talked about where he can go to receive medical aid. He led Sierra Leone for 11 years, and the BBC quoted the current president saying, "The courts have therefore granted the application for the former president to depart from the country purely for specialised medical reasons, and his trial will be suspended for the duration of his absence." And he said, quote, "The trial is not a political witch hunt, but one aimed at unravelling the truth behind the events of 26th November. And on the 26th of November last year, various attacks occurred in Freetown, which is the capital, and a nationwide curfew was announced in order to try and locate the militants responsible for these attacks. And according to the New York Times, a couple of days later, it was reported that approximately 2,000 prisoners were freed on that day by the militants, and approximately 20 people were estimated to have died. 13 military officials that day, so 2 days later, had been arrested in what was referred to as an attempted coup. So the trial is expected to be sometime across March. It doesn't seem to have started or been big in the news yet, so we may get an update. Now, before we go, we will move back to Australia and then to somewhere else. We will pick out two more countries of the world. Hang on, I just closed the jar, really, really tight.
I've never done this before, so how does this work?
You're going to be on the show next week. Pick out a name. Heads up, I have accidentally put some back in, so if you grab one that we've done, we'll just say, chuck it out.
Okay, all right. Here we go. I'll grab that one.
Freddie will be presenting.
I will be presenting Tonga.
Ooh, that'll be very good. I look forward to
that. There we go.
And our second one, Ruby, do you want to pull out the second country for next week?
All right.
What do we got?
Savonga?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go.
Slovakia.
Pronunciation.
That's totally fine. All right. So you'll expect that next week.
That'll be interesting. Going to Europe.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done a lot on the African continent, so we're moving around. Thanks for tuning in to Represent. This will go up wherever you can get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Omni. We are Sin Represent on Twitter and Instagram.
X. It is X now.
And the Meta platform.
I think people these days say X, formerly known as Twitter.
I think it also comes up as that when I get emails.
It's also one of those things where it's like people are just continuously calling it Twitter.
It's still tweets in the notifications.
I very rarely use it, but when I like look for it on my phone, like I always do the search thing and I always type in Twitter.
Wow.
It still comes up every time because they know that it will never be
It'll
X.
Return. I miss that little bluebird.
You talked about that like all the time last year.
I was so sad.
Weren't we looking at an eBay listing last year where you could buy a phone with the old icon and name?
Yeah, it was like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm now thousands of dollars.
Don't connect that phone to the internet.
No, that wasn't me. I didn't buy it.
Naya just has a box of phones at home that still have like old Twitter. Pre-Elon Twitter.
So tell us what you thought on X or the Meta platform. And we'll see you next week, 4 p.m, 90.7 FM. And as always, remember to...
Oh, Bridie will be back next week as well. We should mention
you
that.
You can remember to do that too.
But also...
Bridie, remember to be on the show.
But
remember
also,
to...
Stay political!
You've been listening to a Sin Media podcast, where young people run the show.